Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the September 5th meeting of the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission. It really warms my heart to see so many people passionate about historic preservation in Clark County. For those of you who've ever been to any of our meetings, there's usually two or three people here. So this is kind of a thrill for us.
Just wait. Yeah.
So tonight we're going to begin the public meeting, as we always do, with roll call and introduction. So we'll start over here. We have a couple of commissioners running late, but we do have a quorum, so we'll start on my right. And then before we go any further, after we have the roll call, I just want to say a couple of comments about the agenda this evening.
Hey, Sarah Fox.
Robert Hines.
Rock Manley.
Sean Denniston.
Mark Pelletier.
Jackie Camp.
Patrick Lee.
Chris Cook.
Okay. So tonight we have a couple of items on the agenda that have gained a lot of interest from the community. One is the Clark County Poor Farm. Now that is a duly scheduled public hearing that has been scheduled for some time. It went through the formal process, and tonight is the hearing for a certificate of appropriateness for some changes that will be occurring at the Poor Farm. So in fairness to all of the stakeholders who've been waiting for this public hearing for the Poor Farm, we want to make sure that we are not disruptive of that process. The other item on the agenda that's gained quite a bit of attention from the community is the Jefferson Davis Highway marker. Now, the Jefferson Davis Highway marker will be different than the Poor Farm in that it will not be a formal public hearing. It will just be a discussion by the HPC. And during that discussion, the HPC may make a motion and approve a motion to have a public hearing on the Jefferson Davis marker. And that is consistent with Clark County code. It is the law. We simply cannot do anything this evening beyond have schedule a public hearing. So there's a few possible outcomes. Based on the deliberations, we may choose not to do anything. We may table the item for a future meeting and then have the discussion, a more deep discussion perhaps, on whether we should have the public hearing, or the commission will go ahead and make a motion to have a public hearing on the Jefferson Davis Memorial. And that will begin the process that needs to take place if the Jefferson Davis Memorial were to be delisted from the Clark County Heritage Register. And that is the code, that's the process that we must adhere to. So, with that being said, I'm gonna begin tonight's discussion on the Jefferson Davis Highway marker, because I know that there are a great deal of people here that are very interested in that. I do want to make one more comment, though, about the Jefferson Davis marker. It is only within the scope of the HPC to consider delisting of that marker from the Clark County Heritage Register. I just want to be clear that that monument does sit on public property.
Private property.
I'm sorry. Private property. So it's really outside of the scope of the commission to do anything about that. But the county is staffed and is able to hear concerns from the public regarding that, even though it is private property. Okay, so with that said, let's get into the discussion on the Jefferson Davis Highway marker. And Jackie, would you like to introduce the topic for us and maybe kind of summarize the feelings of the community that you received?
Sure. As Robert stated, this is a discussion to consider scheduling a public hearing to consider whether the marker should be removed from the Clark County Heritage Register. Comments have been received to the county and through various emails and phone calls, as well as there's been several newspaper articles and social media posts after the violence that occurred in Charlottesville earlier in August. We wanted to bring this information and these comments to the Historic Preservation Commission. There have been requests by the community for the commission to consider de-designation. So those comments, everything that we have received to date, has been forwarded on to them for their review, as well as been put together as part of a record, and we've been posting them online as well. So a little bit of background. The Jefferson Davis National Highway Marker was nominated by the United Daughters of the Confederacy and listed on the Clark County Heritage Register by the Historic Commission in 2002. The 2002 nomination and staff report stated its significance was the United Daughters of the Confederacy's grassroots effort to designate it and commemorate Highway 99 in 1939. So according to documents in the nomination folder and record, this marker has been moved several times and now sits on private property off I-5 between here and Ridgefield. So the process, just as Robert had mentioned, according to Clark County Code Title 4250.030F4, there are two ways a property can be removed from the Clark County Heritage Register. One is a property owner may request a review of a property for possible removal from the register. Or in the event that any property is no longer deemed appropriate for designation to the Clark County Heritage Register, the commission may initiate removal from such designation by the same procedure as provided for in establishing the designation, except that the property may be removed from the register without the owner's consent. So staff provided all the attached comments to your memo, as well as the ones that have come in since we sent the packet out last week. So you'll see the ones that have come in printed for you as well. And that pretty much concludes my summary. So if you have any questions for me, feel free. Otherwise, I'll put it back to you all for discussion.
I have two questions.
Okay.
One is information, the other is procedural.
Sure.
So these markers, who do they technically belong to, out of curiosity?
Well, it's my understanding that the highway marker, the one mm-hmm. that's on the register, I can't speak for the other one that I think is out there too, it's owned by the United Daughters of the Confederacy.
Okay. And then from a process standpoint, can the nomination be amended?
Can it be amended?
Do we have a process for amending or updating nominations?
It would be my viewpoint that it would be a public hearing where you could change a nomination.
Okay.
I don't think it's a nomination at this point. The nomination happened a mm-hmm. long time ago. I think it's a separate action.
So we do have a mechanism for updating our official record about our sites.
So he's saying that there's like new information that has come about for a historic site. Is there a process to update that record?
To leave it on the register,
yes.
But change the record.
Mm-hmm. And I actually have this concern about other sites on our register, because our understanding of history changes. It grows. We understand that things are significant that we didn't understand were significant before. So I think this is a pertinent question for all of our sites, but very pertinent for this one.
Well, in order to do anything with regard to the site, in order to take an action with regard to it, I think that in this case, I think you need to hold a public hearing. At that point, you will make a record. So the record that you make will be part of the record.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion. All right. I move that we schedule a public hearing on this item at the next available meeting date.
I second the motion to schedule a public hearing on this issue.
We have a motion to schedule a public hearing for removal or delisting of the Jefferson Davis Highway marker at the closest next available date. I have a second on that motion?
Yes. You got a second?
Yes. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Do we have any discussion?
Do we want to have any additional discussion? Yeah. I thought we just had discussion.
Will you discuss the motion next?
Okay. Do we wish to discuss the motion?
You know, Sean, you raise an interesting point of, I think I've been on the commission, 2 years now, something like that. This is the first registered site or property or item that we've talked about changing status on. So it's interesting to hear, you know, what the options are. And I think Sean makes a good point that, and it's one of been always been one of my contentions that relevance of history changes, and you know, which history is more relevant. I mean, we see examples of that here in the city of Vancouver with Pearson Air Park and the fort and different improvements at the grounds that we sit on now. That makes that a very good point to bring up. Not that has ultimately has bearing on whatever the decision the board makes, but
So any additional discussion or comment?
Yeah, I have a few. You know, this is the sort of thing that's important to me. I read through all the public comments, and there was a lot of food for thought there. And one of the things that I wanted to mention is, you know, we don't put things on the register to honor them. We put them because they're significant. And not everything that's significant is honorable. Not all of it's good. Not all of it's pleasant. Some very terrible things are significant. So just because something is bad, or is related to something bad, or a mixed bag like most of our history, doesn't mean that it shouldn't be on the register. But we have to be honest about the significance of the things that are on the register. Now, generally, we actually don't put memorials on registers. The National Park Service, you know, has guidelines for how stuff goes on the National Register. You know, we're not bound by those guidelines, but they're good guidelines. They talk about how you don't put something on the register just because it's a memorial. What they memorialize is not important if the thing itself is significant for some reason. That's why you put it on the register. And that is why I had that question about the nomination. Because the nomination that we have does not support listing. The nomination is all about Jefferson Davis, all about the things Jefferson Davis did in the Northwest.
We should probably reserve this.
Yeah, okay. We're going a little bit too far.
Okay.
This is the discussion on the motion, actually.
All right, well then the important thing for me is, if we just have a meeting to delist, does that mean that we don't have the opportunity to, I guess the hearing is the record, then I guess that is an opportunity to update what we think about this. So in that case, either one to me is good. Either delist or update. So I think that having that public meeting would be
the right thing. And whatever you hear at the public hearing could change your mind of whatever is in your mind tonight as well.
That's
so
true.
That's the point of the public hearing.
Right.
So we should decide if we want to take an action on the motion that's before us.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of dynamics to that conversation that we could get into. What I've heard from the community in the communications that have been forwarded to me by community planning is that there are very, very strong feelings about the Jefferson Davis Memorial. And it is certainly within the scope of the commission to be able to schedule a public hearing so that we can have that conversation and that we can actually go through the formal process. And my feeling is that we owe the community that much. We owe it that process. And we can have the conversation about the details or what that means for history, be it good or bad at that time. Okay. So if there's no more discussion on the topic, welcome, Rob.
Thank you.
We have a motion to have a public hearing on the Jefferson Davis Highway marker. We have a second. I'll ask all in favor of the motion.
Aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. All right, it's unanimous. So there will be a public hearing on the Jefferson Davis Highway marker. for potential delisting of that monument from the Clark County Heritage Register. Now, because we're not having a public hearing on the Jefferson Davis marker tonight, we will not be taking public comment at this time. If you would like to stick around and make public comment on the Jefferson Davis Highway marker, you're more than welcome to, but that will be at the end of the public meeting after we get through the four farm on the agenda. And that is consistent with how we run all of the meetings. It's just that normally we have three or four people at the most. So you're welcome to stick around. You're welcome to reserve your comment and come back for the public hearing. We'll make sure that we schedule it for a larger and more comfortable venue so that everybody has a place to sit down, and we'll have plenty of opportunity. We'll basically clear the agenda so that we can give the topic its full attention.
And if you've signed in and given your contact information, then you'll receive the notice as well. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can we applaud?
Another first.
First in my life, I think. Yeah. And of course, if you become impassioned about historic preservation as a whole, please stay involved, because there's a lot of great history here in Clark County and the region. And it's not just, Daughters of the Confederacy. There's a lot of Native American issues that we get involved with, colonial issues. It's all very important to the community, and you're welcome to attend any of our public meetings.
Appreciate some of it right now.
Yeah. All right, so that being concluded, we'll move forward with the public hearing for the Poor Farm. I tabled that until the end. Okay, so before we begin the public hearing on the Poor Farm, I would like to ask the commission if any members have any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest with regard to the Poor Farm certificate of appropriateness that we will be discussing this evening.
No.
No? Okay. In that case, we will consider the public hearing open.
Okay. This is case HST 2017-0003, 1919 Northeast 78th Street in Vancouver, also known as the Clark County Heritage Farm and its historic name, the Clark County Poor Farm. This is an application for a certificate of appropriateness for a proposal for a new split rail fence to surround the cemetery on site. The property owners, Clark County, have applied for the certificate of appropriateness for the split rail with fence to enclose the cemetery and the placement of some interpretive elements. The cemetery was platted in 1913 as 150 feet by 300 feet. The wood fence is proposed to be constructed on the north, south, and east, and while the security fence that currently dissects the cemetery will either be relocated or removed, and the security fence will be placed along the western boundary of the cemetery and the property. There will be a 10-foot wide maintenance access provided that coincides with the 18-foot wide row that is shown on the cemetery plat. The applicant is requesting for this is kind of the three decisions that you'll be making, so I want to make sure that we're clear on that as well. So one is to relocate the chain link fence that currently dissects the cemetery. Two, to install the new split rail fence that will go around the proper north, south, and east boundaries of the cemetery. And then some feedback, if there is any, on the placement of the interpretive sign that we developed for the cemetery. The applicant has also proposed that a small informational sign be placed somewhere near the fence or on the fence that talks about how that the fence is not historic, was not historically there, but that the reasons why it is there today, if approved. So I'm sure everyone has gone over all my findings, the background, what we know about specifically the cemetery. We got some information in 2010 when we did the intensive level documentation of the Clark County Poor Farm Buildings and Cemetery, which is part of your attachments and attachment C. The documentation of the buildings and site concluded at that point that it was eligible for the National Register of Historic Places, which was nominated and approved. The remote sensing project identified the correct area of the cemetery using ground penetrating radar, which proved that the existing chain link fence was dissecting the cemetery, not enclosing the cemetery, and that the eastern half of the cemetery had been subject to agricultural practices. The consultant at that time further found that the interments in the cemetery conformed to the plat diagram that was done in 1913, and that it plat generally represents an accurate view of where the burials are. The concluding recommendation was from them to move the fence around the cemetery to represent the proper boundaries in order to properly protect the integrity of the burials, which is the intent of the proposal. So, through my findings, I'm recommending approval of the application as proposed. So if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Do you have any questions for staff by the commission? None? So we've actually had a community planning come before us and brief us on kind of the deliberations and the process that you were going through. There were a number of different proposals that you had looked at. I think that everything in the staff report is consistent with the information that's been previously presented to the commission as you're seeking guidance on this process, and I understand the design concerns. I understand the concerns around the cemetery itself, and I also understand the economics of the competing proposals. So I think I'd just like to say good job to staff for a very good staff report and process. So I don't have any questions for staff. Doesn't sound like there's any from the commissioners.
Just, I like the resolution with the chain link fence and handling the chain link fence by removing the posts at grade level and turning that into a maintenance access. Seems like a good resolution to that particular item.
Yeah, we have Pat Lee here from Parks who put together the application. So if you guys wanted to have him move on to any discussion that you want to bring up and ask some questions about some details, he's here for that.
Do you have a formal presentation for us, Pat? Or?
I did not have a formal presentation. I was here last month and gave sort of a brief overview of the situation.
Yeah.
And I think Jackie covered most of the salient points in her staff report. I'm happy to answer any further questions with regard to Commissioner Manley's comment. What was the question again?
It was just a comment that it seemed like an appropriate way to handle that existing chain link fence so as to not disturb the soil and leave the footings for the fence in place.
Okay, then I would like to address that specifically because from county perspective, that could create a hazard on the site, a safety hazard.
Mm-hmm.
Going to have maintenance equipment that could run into the cutoff stanchions. You could have personal injuries that occur, so it's a liability risk as well, so we would not support that approach. We would rather pull out the footings completely.
Are you going to pull them out completely?
Yes.
Okay. And you've done the appropriate ground penetrating radar around the fence area, or is that part of the plan?
I guess there's two things. This is sort of gives you. I can pass around this exhibit. It gives. I think I have no copies.
Oh,
Well, the plan was to have an archaeologist monitoring the water.
It is. Basically, it overlays the exhibit showing where the burials were by the ground sensing radar, but we also just sort of added in kind of the locations of where we're taking it out, the perimeter, and where the split rail fence would go. And the proposal would be to align that at the perimeter of the cemetery as shown on the flat map. And there is a certain buffer between, on all sides, where we would be proposing to put that split rail fence of various maintenance roads for the cemetery. I think it's 15 feet north and south, and 12 feet on the east. And in the plat, it shows an 18-foot central road, and the existing fence is located, it looks to be within that right of way. We certainly would be hiring a cultural observer on site to, during removal and during coastal digging for the split rail fence, to guide us if we come across any artifacts.
Is the plan on the removal to simply pull those with like a track hoe bucket and a chain as opposed to excavating them?
I think that would be the approach, yes.
So in the application, you talk about noting that the fence isn't historic. Would that go on this or on a separate?
That's kind of done, so yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Ideally, it would go on that, in my opinion, but that's done, so we would do a separate notation on the fence, probably near where that panel goes on.
Okay. One thing I wanted to say is I really appreciate you guys coming ahead of time and having a really good conversation. The application is great because it shows that you listened to the things that we had to say and responded to all of them. I was not a fan of the split rail fence, and I'm probably not still a big fan of it, but you made your case for it. So I really appreciate how thorough the application is. Thank you.
Any other questions of the applicant?
I think I asked this last time, so forgive me. But often when a plan is made, there's not a maintenance budget out in the future for it. We're in pretty good shape with this fence, and there's an allocation for maintenance for future for repair or replacement.
Well, we go through the county budgeting process for maintenance. This is funded, the maintenance activities are funded within the Metropolitan Park District budget for the farm.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Well,
okay.
They're funded through the county budget.
Any more questions on the applicants? I know that we heard their initial presentation last meeting, so I think that we had a number of questions at that time that were clarified for us. But if there's no more, then we'll move on to public comment. Jackie, how many people do we have?
Three.
Okay. So given time and where we are this evening, we have three people who have signed up for public comment. In the interest of time, I'm going to limit public comment to no more than 5 minutes, please. And we have Rob Free, followed by Lisa Bayotet and Tracy Pax. Is that Pax? Thank you. So Rob, you're the first.
As you know, I'm a member of the Heritage Farm Advisory Board. I've talked with the commission in previous meetings about coming up with a certificate of appropriateness. And basically, I would just like to recommend the commission approve the certificate of appropriateness. The fence may not be the most ideal design, but it serves the correct purpose in protecting the valuable resource, cultural resource like the cemetery. It provides honor to people that are buried there by protecting the the site from further disturbance, so I would just suggest and request that you approve the certificate appropriately.
Thank you, Rob. Mm-hmm. Lisa, do you like to comment?
Yes, I do. And I wrote them down so I could be concise in that interest. Please, can I ask you to help me? I have a couple of things just to share. My name is Lisa Bantep, 1815 Northeast 72nd Circle, 98665. Thank you for the diligence all of you have given to my witness in the last 8 months in reviewing the Marble Mount Cemetery, better known as the Poor Farm Cemetery. In new considerations, please utilize your capacity to make recommendations to our county council, given that they do have the final authority, to consider setting aside funding for additional maintenance specific to this area if the fencing recommendation is made. Notation, I'm gonna ask you to please distribute that. I made copies and hopefully enough. This photo is of an easement fence for stormwater access, which extends from the west end of the Heritage Farm. It extends into our subdivision. The black fence was damaged last year, and this photo displays a straightened damaged fence that I'm told by Kerry Armstrong and Public Works that it is on the list for replacement according to the county maintenance budget. When I last checked about a month ago, Mr. Armstrong informed me that it may be 2 or 3 years before the budget will allow this repair. Next I have, and they're in here for organization, but please open them up. These photos are from an overgrowth into a, each one gets an envelope. Oh, you don't have to open up the envelope. The photos are from an overgrowth into a neighboring yard of the northern area abutting the Poor Farm Cemetery that has a damaged fence immediately on the property boundary next to my neighbor two doors down, Cheryl Calderon. Cheryl couldn't be here because she's out of town for work. This damage occurred in 2015, and I do understand that the county is looking to repair this fence sooner due to this process that we're involved with here today. She asked me to read her letter, given that she is working out of town, to give to you as follows. It's a short one. So this is her time, but I'll read it quickly. To whom it may concern, I have asked Lisa Bantep to present pictures of the fence behind my home that borders the Poor Farm property. These pictures were taken today. This was written on August 28th. Most of the damage occurred when a tree on the Poor Farm fell on the fence and took my deck in October of 2015. I called and reported it. A week or so later, I encountered a gentleman who was chopping up part of the tree that was lying across the fence. He informed me that he would be back to finish cleaning up and repair the fence. This never happened. The fence remains mangled in places and is an eyesore. There is also a significant amount of blackberry bushes growing onto my property, which I try to keep cut back. I'm requesting that the fence be replaced soon and that I have access to the property to better remove trash and items that are occasionally left for people who pass through and to cut back the blackberries growing over the fence. Thank you for your time and attention. Robert, I'm going to give that to you. I only have one copy. My personal belief, thank you. My personal belief is that there simply needs to be better communications in this matter regarding that fences do not always protect in the way that they were intended. It appears in this case of not letting neighbors gain a better understanding of how they can help with the treasure of this land called the Poor Farm. Not all people are as outright as what I am in providing mowing and trimming and watchfulness, but I believe that it is because of education that this is happening like this, and we're getting closer to better education. Signs or monuments are going to do little to bring better understanding to the project, let alone the idea of fencing. My case in point, specific to what I just shared, is please include a recommendation of specifically designated maintenance of additional funding, because the county maintenance fund is not enough to repair and preserve these areas. So my second point is, while I know you are cognizant of the 500-foot protected area that the State Archaeology and Preservation Office has informed me designates an additional protection around the entire cemetery beyond its 150 by 300-foot area.
So you have 1 minute.
Okay, designated by ground-penetrating radar. I would like to reiterate for the record that the county allowed my home to be built on the immediate border. My home was excavated down 10 foot with no ground monitoring. Okay. According to Gretchen, the assistant archaeologist with the state, she tells me that, to quote her, "There is not yet a historical cemetery that has not revealed bodies outside of the boundaries within our state historical cemeteries. We have to live with the knowledge of this. But my case in point," and I'll close here and hand these to you, "is to please include in a recommendation of honoring the 500-foot protective area on all sides, including those areas, even in my yard, to prevent further desecration surrounding the cemetery, because I truly believe that there are bodies outside of the border. But I made copies, and I appreciate your time. I worked really hard to try to get this all in, Robert. I really do appreciate all of the time you've given me through the months. Thank you so much." I bolded my specific.
Okay. Tracy, did you have...
Yeah, I'm in rate for somebody else because my input has already been at other meetings. So it would just be really...
Sure.
So my neighbor to the south, her name is Robin Summers, and I'm just going to read her letter today. "My name is Robin Summers. I'm at 1807 Northeast 70th Street. I'm a neighbor, one of the neighbors bordering the cemetery on the west side of the Heritage Farm property. The following comments are an expansion on the letters that I sent to Mark Holt and Julie Olson last month. We had a visit from Jeremy Knuth a couple weeks ago. He informed us that the Parks Department would be moving the cyclone fence to the west, and it would be 6 to 8 feet from our property line, allowing a jog in the fence to accommodate the trees. The fence issue has bounced around for several months. Will the existing fence be moved or removed? Will the split rail fence be put in? Since the area is a cemetery, it's hard to understand how any of these fence projects are feasible. This is a ground that should not be disturbed. Any fence removal or installation requires tearing out posts or digging holes for posts, causing significant disturbance to the ground. It's my understanding that the people may be buried in the shallow graves. Could we not use more trees and shrubs, possibly boulders, to establish cemetery boundaries, markers, and possibly along the trail that has been proposed? There's already a lot of growth along the west boundary. There are a number of mature trees, conifers and deciduous, hazelnuts, snowberry bushes, and blackberries, and more than I can identify. A cemetery is a resting place for our loved ones and should have the appropriate ambiance. It should be a place of peace, serenity, and contemplation, a place to consider the past and the present. Trees and shrubs can help provide that setting. I understand and wish to thank the Historic Preservation Commission for going on record to recommend the Farm Committee that shrubs and landscape would be most appropriate to delineate the cemetery. There's also a lot of wildlife that lives in the west boundary, raccoons, possum, as well as other small mammals, and numerous birds call the dense growth on the west boundary home. My neighbors and I were thrilled this spring to have a young red-tailed hawk walking around the neighborhood crying for his parents. A few weeks later, he or she fledged, and we've been able to identify his cries and see him in the trees and field as he learns to hunt. We have not seen the nest, but it must be close by. I found wonderful little green frogs and garter snakes in my garden. There's a precious habitat on the western boundary of the farm. I would hate to see it torn out for a fence. We could lose some of the blackberries as much as the other small growth as possible should be saved for the wild heritage farm animals. We moved here from the East Coast 5 years ago, lived in quite a few places with very little green space. They were too busy building the cities to realize they needed the green space until it was too late. In the Pacific Northwest, preserving the green space is part of the original plan, and we're delighted to be here. Many thanks to Mark Bolt for helping protect the farm property and to Julie Olson for being responsive to the constituents. Respectfully, Robin Summers."
Thank you, Tracy. Okay, so that concludes the public comment that we had signed up for. If there's no more public comment on the Poor Farm, we'll consider the public hearing closed, and I'll ask the commission for deliberation on this item. So, just so that everybody is aware, because I know that there are some people here who may be new to this issue and new to the HPC, county code does require that the HPC have a professional archaeologist on staff, and that gentleman is Alex Gall, to my right. And so we are very cognizant of concerns regarding human remains, burial sites, and so forth. And I think that we've asked a number of questions in regard to the various site surveys that have been done in the past, some of the concerns about, you know, how deep some of these graves may have been buried, how dispersed they may be from the actual cemetery lines. Of course, it's very difficult to be 100% exhaustive and certain in those concerns, but I think that we've addressed that. So those are my comments. Any other comments from the commission? If there's no more comments from the commission, I'll entertain a motion to approve or disapprove of the county's recommendations.
I move to approve the certificate of appropriateness for the fence at the Clark County Poor Farm.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I'm sorry? Well, we had a discussion, did we not?
Okay.
All right, so.
You have, as part of it, the interpretive panel, do you have any feedback on location of that? Or, I mean, we're going to put it where it'll be appropriate, where the trail, where people will come access it. But I didn't know if anyone wanted to weigh in on anything so that, you know, we can just move forward with as part of the fence project to get put that in.
I think just most publicly accessible and most publicly visible.
Okay.
The best we can do, I think.
Yeah.
Very well. So, it's been approved.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.
Okay.
All right. So, we have a couple of old items. First of all, we skipped the approval of the minutes for the last meeting, so let's jump back to that. Staff had sent out the minutes for the August 1st HBC meeting. I hope everybody's had an opportunity to look at those. If you have not, please take a minute to do so now, and I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes when you're ready.
I was glad to see that I wasn't making motions and approving every single time around.
Although you're still good at it.
I know. So I don't have any changes to this.
I didn't have any changes.
Too much stuff. It's very good. Approve the minutes from the preceding meeting.
A second.
All in favor of approving the minutes for the August 1st HPC meeting?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Nobody opposed. The minutes are approved. Okay, we have one more item of old business to get to this evening before we move on to public comment.
Yes, and I'll make this brief. We can talk once we get closer to presentations, but we do have a schedule for each city council and the county council. I had distributed this a few weeks ago. I've heard back from many of you, some of them are flexible. So I was hoping, this is who I have down for sure. I was hoping maybe we could pass this around and whoever has not, whatever date works best for you. My hope is that we do two commissioners per presentation. I'll be at all of them, so But just in case someone can't make it, then we of course have one, and it's always good, you know, to have a partner. So if everyone could sign up for at least one, that'd be great. I sent you all kind of the first draft of the presentation slides. These will, I kind of wanted to give you an idea of where we started to see if you have any feedback for changes or edits. Once we're kind of all good with it, I'll send it to our communication staff, who will make sure, edit it for content and all that. But kind of the style that we're going is less text, more graphics, and to be able to tell the story, present it in your words. So I have in the speaker notes just more just background and feedback, or not feedback, but just background information that talks about the program elements, just as kind of a resource for you. You know, you say it in your own words, and we can decide per presentation what slides you'd rather me to do, or how we can split up that presentation at each one. So I can work with individually once we have you guys sign up. So let me know if you have any questions.
I looked at your presentation. It looks like a good draft.
Okay.
My only suggestion would be in each community that we visit, mm-hmm. that perhaps we have just like a one-page handout that lists all of
yes.
the properties that are in their own community, so that
yeah.
they can immediately like go, oh, right.
That's what I was, because remember, I kind of took it from that one we did for mm-hmm. Camas, and where, you know, we went
yeah.
through all of this registered sites so that people knew kind of what was in their community. So I do want to do that. I didn't
okay.
do that for this one.
Right.
This one's kind of the first one for the county council, and there's just so many.
Right.
But I'm thinking of doing just kind of maybe like a handout so they know which
like
ones.
Like Washougal and Camas.
Right. And
yeah.
those don't have as many, so we can still do that slide per site. If there's only three or four, I think it's a great way to share those to the council and the public.
To remind them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I think having the presentation have local pictures when we're illustrating something, I think will help get their attention a little bit
Definitely.
More.
For the Vancouver one, we didn't know to hear that it's a joint CLG.
Yes.
So we need to do that.
Yes, yes. Okay. And I'm going to come to you. I'll be in the audience if you need me. I'll be there.
I might have to have to do this. It's pretty technical.
My only comment on this was maybe if we can somehow incorporate a slide or a little bit more imagery to sort of tie in Native American history as well, so it's just the imagery reflects that, because it's a big part of the region.
Maybe we can talk sometime in the next couple weeks about
yeah.
kind of what you might have in mind. Okay.
Great. Okay, so we've got the sign-in sheet going around, and we'll
yeah,
pass
that. That back for that again.
Pass that back to you.
Okay.
Let's see. For the record, let me pass this back to Jackie.
Thank you.
Okay. Is that all old business and updates that we have this
yes.
evening, Jackie? Great.
I don't know if Jan and John have anything.
Well, thank you everybody for your patience, and I want to thank you for your respect that you showed to the people who are here tonight for the poor farm and your participation in the meeting this evening. We still have a number of people here who would like to comment about the Jefferson Davis marker, and you're more than welcome to do so. Because of the number of people, I'm going to limit comment to 3 minutes each, please. And could I have a volunteer timekeeper? Could you do that, Jackie?
Yes.
Okay. And the way this works is we...
And to be clear about the public hearing, too, just to say, you'll all be able to speak at the public hearing.
Correct, yes. You'll be able to sign in and speak at the public hearing as well. And as I stated earlier, we'll make sure that we have a proper venue to accommodate everybody who
right.
wants to attend.
So it most likely will be their next monthly meeting, which is October 3rd. But make sure I have your information or contact me, and we'll make sure you're on our distribution list so you'll receive notification of the hearing. So you'll have all the details, the location, time, agenda.
So maybe ideally we could get the training room or something.
Yes.
That'd be great. Okay, so I'll just start at the top of the list. I know some people left. First person is Bridget. Bridget's still here. Welcome, Bridget.
Hello. God, they're almost professional. I'm hearing you.
And I'm going to stand as, you know, moral support.
Okay, so, and I'm hopefully I'll be in 3 minutes. Hello, my name is Bridget Fondulet, and I'm the president of NAACP of Vancouver. And I'd like to talk about the Confederacy and the Union. Thank God we live in an area where this house especially is important to the Union. But what was the Union fighting against? Slavery. Slavery is a system, in the strictest sense of the term, any system in which principles of property law are applied to people, allowing individuals to own, buy, and sell other individuals as a form of property. So for the Confederacy flag, the Confederate flag, no honor should be taken. No memorial should be given. But I want to tell the stories of the people who experienced this themselves. Take a famous story of Cecilia, a slave who killed her master while resisting a sexual assault. The trial was quick, and it reaffirmed that Cecilia had no rights because she was not a woman. She was sentenced to death, but they delayed her sentence until she gave birth as to not deprive Cecilia's owners their inheritance. Or Wesley Norris, who recalled how he and his family had ran away in an attempt to be free. They were caught, and the overseer found them. The owner ordered that they be stripped and whipped at least 50 lashes each, excepting his sister, who received but 20. We were accordingly stripped to our skin by the overseer, who, however, had sufficient humanity to decline whipping us. According to Dick Williams, a county constable was called in, who gave us the number of lashes ordered. My master, in the meantime, stood by and frequently enjoined Williams to lay it on well, an injunction which he did not fail to heed. Not satisfied with simply lacerating our flesh, he then ordered the overseer to thoroughly wash our backs with a mixture of water and salt, which was done. Wesley's owner, General Robert E. Lee, no honor is given. No memory or memorial is needed. When I was a child, I remember my great-grandmother. I asked her about, did she know any slaves? And she said, well, her grandfather was a slave who ran away. But that when she was a little girl, her mother would take her home from school every day, right in front of this house, where this old black woman would sit there, rocking back and forth and crying. And she said to her mother one day, why is this woman always crying? And her mother said, this woman was a slave. And she had 20 children. And when she became free, she could not find one of them. The Confederacy, no honor is given. No memorial is needed. I will be back for the hearing. Thank you.
I'm Elizabeth Madrigal, and I'm here as a personal citizen. I'm also here as part of Indivisible Greater Vancouver. And for all of my ancestors on the Native side and all the Yankees on the other side, I find this flag incredibly offensive. I know it's on private property and you can't remove it, but I feel that this is not representative of our community, and nothing that is representative of something that was so horrendous and so devastating to a people, to a society, should be honored in any way. And I feel that, you know, with the government sanctioning it by having it on the historic register, and again, I'll be back for the public hearing as well, but this is something that does not represent my community. I don't believe that you know, I live in Ridgefield, and I don't believe that the majority of our citizens want that there. We can't do anything about it, but it's very, very hurtful. It's very sad for children, and I think when your government says, well, but, you know, this is part of history, that particular thing, as you said, has no real significance in this area. It is part of history, but, you know, put it in a museum. Don't make the rest of us have to look at it. So I think it's very, very harmful to people psychically, but it's most harmful to children, and it's very bad for business. So any of you, you know, are interested in business, when somebody sees something like that, that does not represent Clark County, and we shouldn't be sanctioning it. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you very much for all the work you do and for your being here tonight.
Sarah Martin, did I get that right? Welcome.
Thank you. Dear committee, the creation of the Confederate States of America and the election of Jefferson Davis as its president is to me a horrific part of American history. I find the Jefferson Davis Highway marker to be a disgusting reminder of the cause of the Confederacy, the enslavement of human beings. As a human being and someone who is trying to teach my children to be a better neighbor, friend, ally to my black brothers and sisters and anybody that's marginalized, with whom I share this community, I find the notion of celebrating such a legacy repugnant and hope sincerely you reconsider listing it as a heritage site and paying for helping with its upkeep when it has nothing to do with Clark County's heritage legacy. Why should Clark County support the celebration of hatred and oppression, do the right thing, and remove this site from the Heritage Register? I think Thomas is next.
Sir?
Dear Clark County Heritage Commission, I am sad because this park celebrates slavery. It makes me sad because that is hate. Hate makes people feel bad. It makes my friends afraid. Why celebrate hate? From Thomas Blagos. Dear Clark County Heritage Commission, I am 7 and I have many friends that are non-white, and I left them there, my friends. Please stop taking care of the park that celebrates slavery. Why would you celebrate that from Patrick Villegas?
Daniel Joshua.
So I guess I have two little quick things that I'll read, a couple talking points. First, Jefferson Davis is not historically significant to Clark County or Washington State. As far as we know, Jefferson Davis never even visited our state. He did not contribute to the development of any of our infrastructure. Washington State was not part of the Confederacy. Washington State did not become a state for more than 20 years after the Civil War. A driving cause of the Civil War was the issue of slavery, wherein Confederate states fought to preserve the right to enslave other people. The organization that owns and maintains the monuments in Clark County are dedicated to honoring and promoting the cause of Confederacy. By including these monuments on the historic registry, Clark County is supporting and promoting the ideals of the Confederacy. The inclusion of the monuments on the registry signals to our citizens that Clark County supports the racist ideals of a failed society and that our county is a safe haven for white supremacists. The visibility of the sign on I-5 alongside the Confederate flag and the Jefferson Davis Highway markers sends a signal to minority communities that they are not safe in Southwest Washington. Historic sites that are able to achieve inclusion on the historic registry may receive financial advantages from the county, including reduced property taxes. And additionally, sites on the registry are promoted on Clark County's website and the Clark County Washington Historic Sites mobile app. According to Clark County's website, the monument itself is not deemed historically significant to Clark County, nor is the life of Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederate States of America during the Civil War. In fact, Washington did not become a state until 24 years after the end of the Civil War. For many in Clark County, this Confederate monument symbolized the violent oppression and forced slavery of millions of people. In 2015, a local paper reported that the monuments were described as residents as being upsetting and inexplicable. The Vancouver NAACP was quoted as saying, "It is a reflection of bigotry and divisiveness and hatred. It does not symbolize what America stands for." Local Black Lives Matter activists recently said removal of the monuments from the registry is an important gesture to demonstrate that Clark County does not celebrate the values represented by these monuments. And I just also want to say that the fact that they're on the registry is memorializing the work of local activists, the Daughters of the Confederacy. I think if we're going to memorialize groups that are doing grassroots movement, let's memorialize the NAACP. They've been in Vancouver since 1943, 3 years after the, you know, this marker was put in place and the highway was named for this president. So.
Hector Reyes.
Hi, I'm speaking on my behalf and also on behalf of the Southwest Washington Emergency Response Network Against Hate. And DOA, we're going to be in force when the raid takes place. I find appalling that such a monument and such a marker exists. Every time I drive past it, I feel uncomfortable because I believe that it's toxic to this county. And I want to take the opportunity to speak to what Commissioner Denniston was trying to refer to. At least I believe that was his intention of how come 15 years ago this thing went, you know, and became a registered marker, that there must have been a profound dropping of the ball for that to have happened. And so I encourage the present commission to take a look back at how something like that could not ever happen. Because in all honesty, it's not only about, you know, all these horrific events that had to do with slavery and so on and so forth. It has to do with when these monuments came to kind of push forward Jim Crow segregation as something legitimate. And it has to go with what is happening now. This monument there celebrates the fact that I might be ethnically cleansed. So I will stand against this very thoroughly and encourage every decent person in this county to do the same. So we'll be there when you have the next meeting. Thank you.
Chris Dudley.
Hi, Chris Dudley, Ridgefield. I just would like to say, having taken a bachelor's degree in history, that it's fun watching historians squirm in the fierce urgency of now. I appreciate that you've agreed to hold a meeting and consider this issue. I wanted to directly address a question you had about memorializing, and I hope that you will go see this. The only word that's coming to my mind is abomination that sullies my neighborhood in Ridgefield. At night when it's lit up, because this is much less a memorial and more a glorification, and I can't define glorification, but I certainly know it when I see it. You are on a flashpoint, and I hope and I applaud you for taking up the ball when you're on the flashpoint, but I don't want any kind of violence that has already been threatened by the supporters of this. I hope that you will just go through with the public process as you should, and then delist this thing, get them off whatever public assistance that you are affording them, not you personally, but the commission has in the past. So I appreciate your time, and I hope you will.
Cecilia Towner, still with us this evening. Okay. Rob, I'd like to say a word on this.
Yes, give you a little historic background. I was chair of the commission back in 2002 when the monument was put on the register. I was probably the only commission member that voted against it. My personal feeling is that monuments do not belong on the National Register. I'm more of the bent bias that structures and buildings are what go on the National Register, in addition to archaeological sites. But I do not believe that monuments should be on the local or National Register. Secondly, the monuments have quite a checkered past in terms of its moving around. It was originally at the Covington House because it was on Highway 99, and that's what the monument commemorates, is the north-south extensions of Highway 99 through the state of Washington. It was moved down to the museum, that's more or less the southern terminus of Highway 99. But at some point after that, the current, the museum director at the time did not want the monument on the property, and brought it up to discussion with the Historic Preservation Commission. As we were discussing it, the director went to the mayor, and the mayor made a unilateral decision to get it off of the museum property, and it was removed. The commission had no involvement in it at that point, and its subsequent placement, there was never a certificate of appropriateness, I believe, or hearing held to locate it in another place. And to me, it's lost its historical context because it's not in Highway 99 anymore. I think some of the views were that, well, it was close, where it is now, it's close enough to Highway 99. But my point that it's lost, if it ever had any significance, it's lost significance. It's not even on the highway that it originally was supposed to mark.
Oh, if I just want to, we did have the hearing in 07 to.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes, I just want to make that clear.
Okay.
That there was a process.
Okay, I'm in error. Okay.
Let's see, Lisa Baratet. She's left. Kay Ellison?
She's not.
She's not with us here. Okay. Josh. Is Josh present?
Is it for Josh Andrew Coleman?
I don't have a last name.
Yeah, that's my husband. It's okay.
He had to go.
Yeah.
You need to.
Could you also provide your address so that we can send you a
notice? 1716 North Falcon Drive in Ridgefield.
1716 North Falcon.
It's a great neighborhood. They're my neighbors.
And that's 98642?
Yes.
Okay.
So my name's Amber, and my husband's really private, and this is actually really uncomfortable for us because we don't do this kind of stuff. But I'm here, I don't know if you can see her, it's my daughter Abby. She's a sputter, she's out doing Running Start. And we moved here, golly, it's been like 2.5 years. We were a military family, Coast Guard, go Coast Guard, and have been able to live in lots of different places. I actually worked for the city of Vancouver for a little bit. My husband was stationed in Portland. I worked for the court system, and I've worked in school districts. So I really do feel like we want to invest, and this is where we wanted to invest. And they sold me, my husband sold me when we went to 4th of July in Ridgefield. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's so beautiful and fun. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding. This is so idyallic. So we moved up, and I have another child, my son. And I honestly didn't notice the flag. It wasn't part of like what I was noticing. And but my daughter was coming home and she was just saying, Mom, I'm getting some weird comments. And I'm like, okay, well, you always have people like that. But she started getting some pretty, like for the first time, we were getting like racial discrimination. And we've lived in some marvelous parts of the country, and I've grown up, I'm Hispanic, Native American, I'm Filipino, and I'm also Norwegian, Finnish, and I'm an American is what I am. And so I was really caught off guard because I've never had those experiences. So we've had some really uncomfortable dialogues in our home that as a parent, I just felt very helpless. And we went to the administration, we have some great people in our school district. I think there's gonna be a ton of great change. I really believe in that. But I'm talking not just about the past, but about the present, the conversations in the bus, even in the school. And I know it's not just Ridgefield, but there was almost like a permission. And I think when you think of like as adults, we create a climate of what is acceptable and not acceptable. And it became personal because my daughter, I saw this vibrant, confident person just kind of tank last year. And golly, that was hard. So, sorry. Thank you. No, I'm here for her. And I asked her, because it's her story, not mine, right? And I asked her for permission, and she said, 100%, Mom, tell them. So thank you.
Okay. Amber, I don't have a last name.
That was me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He signed me up.
Gotcha.
I don't want to go again.
Thank you, Amber.
Thank you. I can't read that name.
And Shane?
Anshane?
Anshane.
Okay.
Anshane.
Anshane.
Anshane. I don't even have my reading glasses on. It was like, I'm used to it. My name is Anshane Nomoto. It's a really small world because I bought Amber's house. And I just realized she's here. I moved here from Alaska. A few years back. I'm originally from the Midwest, from Ohio, and we have our share of monuments out there. I really enjoyed the fact that the Pacific Northwest is such a progressive and open society to all different kinds of ideas, not just regarding race, but just lifestyle. And being here as a minority, and I really feel like a minority here, I still didn't feel like a minority of thought here. Everyone is so progressive and open-minded, and it's very comfortable here. So I was on the freeway 3 weeks ago, the weekend immediately after Charlottesville, heading south on I-5, and I noticed a truck with the Confederate flag right next to the Ridgefield exit at a park with a sign of Jefferson Davis. And I looked at my partner and I said, what in the world is that? There was a man standing there almost as if he was protecting the space. And it was so jarring for me to see that because I haven't seen anything like that since I've moved up here. Now, mind you, there are individuals who voice their opinions on several occasions. I've seen them in some of the rallies. I've marched with Black Lives Matter. I consider myself a member of Black Lives Matter. But to see that that was a sanctioned spot to celebrate a heritage of hate really had me thinking and rethinking, what did I move to? Is this the type of community that I moved into? And it's really gotten my wheels turning. And I wanted to do something about it. So it seems like the stars aligned when this conversation came up and this meeting came up, and I knew I needed to be here. So I appreciate the fact that you're taking up a public hearing for this. I think there are more people out there who really have something to say about it. I don't think we should honor hate. I think it's exactly what this Ridgefield resident said here. We do not stand for that as a community, as a state,
we shouldn't be paying for them to honor a heritage of hate, and I hope that, you know, you guys really consider taking it off the register. Thank you.
Jackie, I just want to confirm one thing.
Sure.
The Jefferson Davis Memorial or Park does not receive any county funds or tax incentives or anything,
no,
correct?
No, any property on the register is qualified to apply to be have that tax
right.
incentive, and but they have not.
Including right. objects?
Yeah.
And they would then have to be approved, correct? It,
yeah, it's an application to the county,
right.
and it's approved by the board.
And they're currently
the
not receiving any no, public funds.
They are not.
Okay. Rita Malloy, she's still here. Okay. Is it Ren Goodman?
He's also not here.
He's not here. Okay. Megan Wadley?
She left.
She left. Okay. Tiffany Burnett.
Hi,
Tiffany.
Hi. So I have actually a very similar story as she does. So I am from the East Coast, Philly, New York. I've lived overseas all over the place. And my father is from North Carolina, segregated South. He's 78 years old. And when he was growing up, he had a rebel flag tattoo on his arm because he was dumb. And like a teenager, you know, he went into the military when he was 15, Vietnam. And he got it burned off of him. So, and I know, and he votes in a way that I don't understand still, but he, like this man, even did this. So, a few months ago, I'm driving down I-5, I was leaving your house, we were watching a documentary together, and there was a Trump rally thing going on that day. I'm driving down I-5, and all of a sudden I see probably four or five trucks parked on the side of the highway, same thing. All Confederate flags flying below this monument thing. And I was like, oh my God, like this is violence. This literally is a symbol of violence. Somebody who is a minority, not me, I mean, I still think it's horrendous and I feel that it's an act of violence. Somebody is literally sick to themselves thinking that they could be attacked if they pull up to a public park and at this moment. What is this? Like, I wanted to pull over and say, no, like, you move along. What can we do? I can't do anything. What am I supposed to do? So we've been following this for a long time. I'm new to Clark County, and as soon as I saw that, I was like, I don't even want to live here. That's my personal belief, but we have instead rallied our forces, and we're going to keep coming here until it's gone, because it's a symbol of white supremacy. It has to go. And there was reports a few weeks ago of a woman, a reporter, minority, who was at the monument, and this is speculation, but that she was being harassed, and there was some like kind of assault stuff going on. And I think that, you know, as the county, like, we can't support this stuff. It can become very dangerous very quickly. So as a resident, I don't want to be involved. But thank you for taking it to hearing stage. We'll be there. Thanks.
And again, the hearing is for delisting from the Heritage
yes.
Register. It's not to remove.
We're not going
to
tear down.
No, we have
to. Okay. Krista Roscoe, are you still with us this evening? Krista, okay. Elizabeth Thompson? Jeffrey Thompson. And let's see, Sarah, can you help me out with
it's
this?
It's like Matthew Farber.
Matthew.
Hi. I wrote some impromptu comments, which I now have to dig up. All right. I understand, this goes to your comments earlier, that the intention of the commission is not to honor Jefferson Davis or to honor the Confederacy necessarily with listing the memorial. It's about historical significance. But regardless of the intentions of the commission, most people don't know that or don't care. And ultimately, the listing becomes a symbol to the community. And ultimately, what this memorial is a symbol of white supremacy, nothing else. That's the only significant thing Jefferson Davis stood for. Maybe the archaeologists know something else, but as far as I know, that was his thing. For some, you know, the daughters of the Confederacy, it's a symbol of how the world should be. And for most, I would like to think, for this community, it's a symbol of how the world should not be. And if private citizens want to have, you know, monuments to white supremacy on their private property, fine. But, you know, that's their right. It's America. But we shouldn't give them the symbolism they so clearly want that is meant only to demean members of our community.
Sherry Bush. Sherry, still in the house?
Yep.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for clarifying earlier that this property is not getting any tax reduction. That's something I was genuinely concerned about. But what I am concerned about still is that they could still apply for it. I don't even want these guys to be able to apply for a property tax reduction. I don't want them to be able to say that this monument is registered on the Clark County Historical Registry, which they can put on any of their information. That's something that I learned off of the Clark County website today. And I think it's important that we as a community do not sanction something such as this on private property, which has already been expressed very clearly before as a symbol of hate. And I actually did some digging and I've read some of the opposition viewpoints in supporting this monument, and they're all pretty lame, and you will get a much more in-depth description of them at the public hearing.
Ingrid Darkmeyer. Okay. Travis London. Is Travis still here? All right. Jenna Schofer, Susan Fleming, Retta Rubenstein,
Rita Rubenstein, I live in Bridgefield, 98642. Robert E. Lee himself would not support Confederate flags in Washington State. When a Confederate widow expressed animosity toward the northern U.S. after the Civil War, he said, "We form one country now. Abandon all those local animosities and make your sons Americans."
Is it Howard Rubenstein?
It is. I'm Howard Rubenstein. I live in Ridgefield. Thank you to the commission very much for what I believe was a unanimous acceptance of the concept of a public hearing. I appreciate that very much and look forward to the process going forward. Just have a couple of loose thoughts that I'd like to share. One of them is, and thank you to Mr. Hines for pointing out that, in fact, there is no tax abatement to this group that hosts this abomination. However, perception is reality. I think we've all heard that before. Perception is reality. If I look and see that this place is as a public listing of any sort, it says to me that the people of this community welcome this in some way. Perhaps that's not your intent. I know sure as the very devil it is not my intent. I've only lived here about a little over a year, and I was truly aghast to learn about this. I come from a place where Black people are much more visible. We're from the Detroit area. We've lived our entire lives there. And frankly, had some concern about moving to a place that was so segregated. But I drew some comfort in seeing that it appeared that this was a warm and welcoming place. This is not warm and welcoming. Thank you.
Thank you, Damien Isles?
Giles, with a J.
Giles.
Good evening, all. My name is Damien Giles, and I, believe it or not, I'm also a Ridgefield resident, and I am a candidate for the Ridgefield School Board. I want to lead with a question to you all, and I want to ask, what does a second place Super Bowl ring look like? Exactly, you don't know because you haven't seen it. Nobody celebrates the loser, right? So, growing up in Houston, Texas, I went to schools that celebrated the honor and the names and the heritage of slave owners and Confederate supporters, Marcellus Foster, Dick Dowling, James Madison. And I always wondered why schools that bear these names, Robert E. Lee, Jeff Davis, why all these schools were in black communities? Because when you go to the white communities, these schools weren't there. These school names were not there. So you're sending a message, right? Amber had just walked out of this door. I had the pleasure to meet her daughter. Her daughter was my inspiration to make the run for Ridgefield School Board because when a child can be told after she's had a horrific experience involving racism, and she can be told just keep your head down and it'll go away, something needs to be done about that. Because the people that have told her that feel like, well, it doesn't happen to me, it won't happen to mine. And that's wrong. And when you have monuments like this out here on the I-5, one exit up from my own house, and you see these on a daily basis. I used to see it on my ride to Fort Lewis every day on my ride home back from Fort Lewis, a 12-year Army veteran. I used to see this all the time. And you ask yourself, what message is being sent here? Right outside my son's school at Southridge, there's a sign that says Obama, painted on a flag. What message are we trying to send? So, thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the commission, for allowing me to speak. You all have a great evening.
Jill?
Is it
Jill Mendoza?
Jill? Jane Mendoza?
Probably not here.
Yeah, okay. Rory Bowman? Still in the house? Megan Dudley.
Hi, I'm Megan Dudley. I'm a Ridgefield resident as well. And thank you for allowing us to do the public comments at the next hearing. And I hope we'll do my best to be there. As a Ridgefield resident, I do not think that the monument reflects our community. And I'm saddened every day to drive past it and see it as a representative for people that don't realize the history of it. I do not agree with it being on the historic registry.
Okay, that includes all those who had signed up for public comment this evening. Is there anybody who perhaps missed the sheet that wanted to say something? Okay, if there's no more public comment this evening, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody. It was a good discussion, and I saw a lot of very, very passionate people here who care a lot about their community and a lot about the signal that this particular monument sends by being on the Clark County Heritage Register. And so I thank you for your time. I thank you for sticking around this evening and sharing your thoughts. As we determined earlier, there will be a public hearing. We'll make sure that we have a proper forum for that, and I'll look forward to seeing you all there. With that, we've reached the end of the meeting, so unless some of the other commissioners would like to make some comments, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I have a quick question for staff. Mm-hmm. Since this is a contentious topic, I imagine there are going to be people who will want to talk to us about it. So if you could remind us about the rules about ex parte conversations, and want to make sure whatever we do, it holds up. And but I don't do something stupid. Basically, I can't remember all
the rules. Basically, just don't talk about it until the hearing arrives.
Chris, any words of wisdom for them on ex parte and what those are?
Well, you are all members of the community. That's why you're on this board. No one expects you to be in an isolation chamber while this is occurring. Having said that, I assume that none of you have any financial or other business interests or ties with the Jefferson Davis marker owners. If you do, you would be required to disclose that and recuse yourself. But talking about it, that's a hard one. And I would just suggest that if your friends or neighbors or anybody else comes up to you, you just very courteously say that you appreciate their concern, but that you can't talk, and you would like to hear them give their viewpoints later at the hearing.
Great, thank you.
That's my thought on that. Can I make one more comment regarding process, since I'm
please
gabbing
do.
Anyway?
Mm-hmm. Chris, by the way, is
I'm
senior
a deputy
attorney with Clark County,
yeah,
and she
advises
the commission.
Yeah. So this meeting is being recorded, and so the words that you speak will absolutely be part of the record, but it's a little difficult sometimes to access the spoken word if you're looking for the record. Many people came in with something that they had written, whether it was on their phone or on a pad or something that they had emailed or what. Written submittals are really helpful. If you can email them to Jackie at the county, Jackie Camp, K-A-M-P, you will find that she will get them to the commission. If you can do it before the meeting, she can get it to the commissioners before the meeting, and perhaps they will then have read your thoughts and been able to mull them over a little bit before they even get to wherever it is. You can also, if you speak and then have it in writing, you can hand it in after you've spoken or before. So, just a thought.
My email, contacts on the bottom of the agenda, if you don't have it.
It's also on the website.
It's also on the website.
May I ask that when you send out like the email when the public hearing will you include the time limit that you will give to each speaker?
That would be the chair's decision at the time of the hearing.
Okay.
That's yet another reason why it's a great idea to write it out. There's no time limit on what you write.
Well, it depends a lot on how many people show up.
Right.
Because we all have, you know, other obligations perhaps after a meeting as well. So if only five people show up, maybe then all five people will get 10 minutes, 20 minutes to talk. But if 50 people show up, then we'll have to take that into consideration.
And I just wanted to clarify the comments that were made earlier about not speaking about this topic before the public hearing. That's not necessarily because we're trying to be clandestine or opaque about this, but it has to do with the open public meetings law. And so maybe, Chris, you could just say a couple of words about that so it's clear to everybody.
Well, there is an open public meetings law, and for that reason, there is going to be a public hearing that the public can come to. It will be noticed in advance, so you'll be able to go to the county's website. Those of you who gave contact information. We'll get notice that way. It will be published in the Columbian, so and maybe in the Reflector. I'm not sure since it's in Ridgefield, yeah, or outside Ridgefield. So the idea of the Open Public Meetings Act is that the influences on the commissioner's decisions should be things that the public can hear and see and be part of. So it shouldn't be somebody who calls them up on the phone and speaks for, you know, has a conversation with them in private.
Ask, can the chair limit the number of people who comment?
I don't think that's probably not germane.
That's generally public meeting is everybody that shows up can make a comment.
Yeah, within reason. If there were enough people that it would go until 2 or 3 in the morning, that meeting could certainly be continued and, you know, happen later. But
I want to talk to you about the school board in Richfield.
I cannot talk to you about
that. I'm just throwing out.
Okay. Any last-minute comments by any of the commissioners?
I just wanted to thank those of you who came in from Ridgefield particularly. I came tonight hoping to hear from you. Thank you for being here.
I mean, you're wearing like gum on your shoe. Just keep that in mind.
Well, I'd like to echo that it's really wonderful to see community involvement and community-minded folks showing up for this meeting. And thank you all for coming.
Thank you all.
Okay. So, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Seconded.
All in favor of adjourning tonight's meeting?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Jeff,
unanimous.
I will. You can keep yours if you want.
I don't know.